To the work, we are servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has trod. With the balm of his counsel, our strength to renew. Let us do with our might what our hands find to do. Toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, toiling on. Let us hold, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes. To the work, let the hungry be fed. To the fountain of life, let the weary be led. In the cross and his banner, our glory shall be. While we herald the tidings, salvation is free. Toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, toiling on. Let us hold, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes. To the work, there is labor for all. Toward the kingdom of darkness an error shall fall. And the name of Jehovah exalted shall be. In the loud swelling chorus, salvation is free. Toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, toiling on. Let us hope and trust, let us watch and labor till the Master comes. Let's pray together.
Heavenly Father, we are thankful to you for this day that we've had to assemble to worship you. A day that was set aside, Father, that not only do we acknowledge who you are and how great you are to us and all of the things that you do for us, but Father, to strengthen us and to strengthen our spirits and our souls and our bodies, that we may attend to you and to do the things that we need to do throughout this week. Father, we are grateful to your Son. We're grateful for Jesus to come into this earth to teach us the things you'd have us to know. And Father, we pray that we can be like him more every day in our life. We thank you for the church that meets here at this place. Father, we ask you to strengthen us, to help us to do your will here in this community. And Father, we pray for those that can't be here this night. We pray, Father, that you will encourage them and help them, Father, that they can be back with us at the next point in time. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to live in the country to enjoy the freedoms that we have. And Father, we pray for this country that it once again will look back towards you for your guidance and for your help and for your leadership. Help us, Father, to overcome the evil with the good that you give us. And Father, we pray that this country will keep existing as a free nation to teach those that are around about us about you. Thank you for the men and women that serve in the military, that keep this country safe. We are thankful for the first responders that are working so hard with this virus that we have. And Father, we ask you to protect all of these and help them that they can do much good. And Father, we pray that you'll give them the strength and the courage and help those, Father, that are working on the virus that they can find a cure for it and help us to get back to our normal walks in this life. Father, thank you for the many blessings you give us every day in our lives for the physical things that we have. For the spiritual blessings, Father, we realize that they do come from your Son. Help us in our lives, Father, to be better. Help us to do your will, and Father, help us to love each other and to continue the work here at this place as you'd have us to do. Go with us through this service tonight. We ask you to bless Brother Robert as he brings a lesson to us. We pray for those that are traveling on the roads, and Father, we ask you to keep them safe. Forgive us of our sins. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Let's sing together 485, please. And if you would, mark in your book, number 599, when it comes to glory by and by. 599. Just mark that one for the invitation song tonight. 599. And turn back to 485. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from the world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul tonight to this lesson is a more enjoyable study for me that I did in preparation for this time, and that is the idea of how is the truth presented, more ways than just by the words that we say. And in this regard, here is Jesus who represents the way of truth, and is that not what he said before he left the disciples? To you the troubled, rest with us. The idea of it was that the Lord would have a way of going, that he would come back again. He reassured them in that regard. And Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? To which Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Notice that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That hope is found in Jesus and in his way, and this song epitomizes that idea about standing in prayer and having the presence of the Lord to be always truthful and always accurate, and we're prayerful that he will hear our petitions and so forth as we go in life. What a blessing we have. There's a way in which we do not always tell the truth, and it's not by way of the words that we say or missay in our lives. To the contrary, there is a way in which we do not tell the truth in regard to the writing that we may do. It is commonly called plagiarism as we do that. There is a reference made to one of the people running for office these days that he has plagiarized a number of things in his life. And whether it's true or not, that's not a good compliment to be made, because somebody has had an idea that they presented on paper and it's been copied by someone else. Plagiarism, a copy of that information, representing it as though it is original, that's my own, that it's of my time, and instead of giving credit to where credit is due, there is of course the idea that this is not something that's good, not something that's helpful. In pages of the Bible, in Acts chapter 8, we're introduced to a man who is said in Acts 8, 9 through 11, that he bewitched the people of Samaria. giving out that himself was some great one. He had all the people there deceived, believing that this was the case. This man is the great power of God, there in verse 10. However, the Samaritans heard Philip preaching the kingdom of God, and both men and women, they were baptized. And as a result of this, there in Samaria, the disciples heard that this had happened, and they came down to impart to them a miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. Simon saw through the laying on the apostles' hand that the Holy Spirit was given. He offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." That read in Acts 8, verses 13 through 19. His sinful, covetous spirit was denied, and he was told by Simon Peter, "Thy heart is not right in the sight of God." Acts chapter 8, verse 21. He was told to repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Simon promptly responded to this. It's wonderful to see that he did not stay with his own deceptive ways of doing things, but that he quickly came back to the things that the man had said, and he wanted to have the Lord to be prayed to for him by these, that none of these things you have spoken may come upon me. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 20, that Saul was told by the prophet Samuel, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." The word of the Lord that came to Micah in Micah chapter 1 at verse 1, "I will cut off witchcraft out of thy hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers in the land," according to the 5th chapter of Micah and verse 12. If we are still living under the law of Moses, we would not suffer a witch to live, according to Exodus 22 and verse 18. Under the law of Christ, the Holy Spirit moved Paul to write the following: "Witchcraft, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Galatians 5, 19 through 21. So it is the case that in the idea of telling the truth and representing the truth, there are deceptions and illusionists that may come about. It is noted of David Copperfield, who several times had been into the Birmingham, Alabama area, and to conduct a program like that, famous magician as he has been. But James Pilgrim wrote about him in regard to this matter, that he made it clear that he has no special dark powers to actually do what he causes people to see. He told the audience that what he does is sleight of hand. The hand, he believes, is quicker than the eye. Misdirection and illusion and such like. He is quick to tell those whom he entertains that he cannot literally move jets, buildings, or other objects, but makes it appear that way, makes it look that way. And there's nothing dark or devilish about his programs. He simply leaves one wondering how he did those things as the screen was to be portraying him. That particular thing is a fun thing, and a fun thing but seen by just little scores of people in the South, in the Birmingham area. But they're not exactly at all the type of things of which Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11 when he said at verse 3, "I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through your subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Immediately he mentions about the fact that preaching another Jesus would not be the preaching of the gospel, and the Spirit of God would not be with that one, according to verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 11. And Paul talks about those who were false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, according to verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 11. He further declared that no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed as the minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. When we talk about these things, we're talking about a way of life that is being practiced that is not truthful, not accurate, not representing the cause of God, not doing His way. I'd like to close out our lesson study tonight in this regard of turning to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament of the Bible and looking at each one of the chapters as to relationship with the Lord that defies the idea of not telling the truth, not being a truthful person in prayer, not being a truthful person in service to the Lord. He says in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according to that He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom you have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according as His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself." Jesus had a purpose by which He was representing a message of hope and a message of eternal salvation. And notice in particular verse 7, "In whom we have redemption, through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of His grace." Going on to the second chapter, we see that there's even more involved with the daily walk of life. He says, verse 1, beginning, "And you hath quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, having to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we have had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." It does not please us to have the idea that back during the years of our development, back during the years of our teen learning things and one thing and another, we may have eased over into the left side of life, the sinful side of life, the wrong way of thinking and doing, the wrong way of talking to others. But it is scarce that we are so thankful, verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." The hope that God extends out a hand of grace, as it were an olive leaf for peace to be there. He goes on to talk about this great peace that man can have and the way of God in chapter 3 in this particular book. In Ephesians chapter 3, he says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me toward you, that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." I want you to observe that the relationship that Paul is there talking about is a relationship that brought him out of the place of darkness and out of the wrongdoings of life and out of the sins of the flesh and becoming a person who is now serving God according to the grace of God, the teaching of the knowledge of the Lord. The knowledge and information is a wonderful theme and a wonderful idea for us. In this third chapter, he goes on to talk about how this grand, this wonderful thing is there and how we ought to be people of great prayer. And that he says in verse 16 of chapter 3, "That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." You see, there is not just a physical being that we have here. We are not a part of a physical relationship only with God. We have the inner man, that inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The idea is a spiritual walk and a spiritual way in which that inner person can be filled with thrilling knowledge and thrilling ideals and thrilling hope to the presence of God. He looks forward to that day and that time for all the brethren at Ephesus and himself as well. How does he get into that? In chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, he says in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What did he do? He gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Talking about elders of the church and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Who is that perfect man? Not the outer man, but the inner man. That inner man that is growing and learning and strengthened, according to chapter 3 and verse 16, that he might grant to you according to the riches of glory to be strengthened with might of his spirit in the inner man. The inner man becoming a person who wakes up in the morning and thanks God for the inner man, thinking of God. Goes to sleep at night on the ideas of the inner man having the knowledge of God in the day and wonderful relationship with him now. How that we are working with others and teaching them about the way that their inner man can be changed and made into a new person and new way, as Paul wrote in Romans 6. That they were raised to walk in newness of life. The physical man is not the idea of it so much as it is the inner man, the spiritual man. And that spiritual man is that way. How do we go about in our lives? Look what he says here in verses 14 and 15. That henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. What are we to do? We're to be people who do not continue along with the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness and the being lying in wait to deceive and practicing that deception with others as we preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ and live out the gospel in our lives. But that we, speaking the truth in love, we're to speak the truth in love. And that compels upon us to change a way of life in many congregations. Instead of speaking the love, or speaking the truth, they leave out the word love and they just tell the truth. And the truth is this, and the truth is that. And if you want to be saved, you need to have this obedience to the truth. Well, that's a fact in regard to factual things, but it's not the attitude that accompanies it that is right. The attitude that accompanies the teaching of truth is the attitude of our love. Having speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. In chapter 5, he goes on to tell us in regard to this matter. He says, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. This was precious in the nostrils of God the Father, that his Son was obedient to his will and following his will, and that in this love he gave himself an offering and a sacrifice to God. That upon the cross was not just a sacrifice to mankind, to get rid of him, the Romans thought, and to get rid of him, so the Jewish people thought, who rejected him and his way. To the contrary, the idea was that they were people who needed hope and needed salvation, and this was the best way that God and Father knew about their hearts,
that they could be impressed with this. So it was that a powerful old man named Saul of Tarsus would find himself persecuting unto death those who followed this way. And tells about that in Acts 24 when he says, regarding this matter, he said, but God had mercy upon me. He could sense and see the mercy of God as it was presented to him by God, by Jesus himself, by Ananias, when he talked to him about the way to get rid of his sins. Let no man deceive you, he said in verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. What's going to happen to those who live by ways of deception and by ways of illusions and by ways of falsehoods in this life? Whether it's in their lives individually, in their job-related work, whether it's individually regarding others in relationship to them, whether it's in others in regard to a marriage contract that is with others, what are the ideas? The ideas are that we find ourselves as children who will suffer the disobedience, and the result of it is the wrath of God will come upon the children of disobedience. The word in regard to this matter is closed out in Ephesians chapter 6 when he says in verse number 2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Many have done that by the way of their mannerisms and their fussing and arguing with and their punishments of within an inch of their lives. Many have done that, but that should not be done. And it says here, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service, not just because they're coming around and right now the boss is coming around and we'll be pleasing him by eye service, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from where? From the heart. From the heart. Having a relationship with God as we live life is the most ultimate thing that we can do. The wonderful ways of life that he would have us to live. The final comments in regard to this matter in chapter 6 are the words about the faithful brother named Tychicus. And in Paul writes the following. But that ye, verse 21, but that ye may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known unto you all things. Having Tychicus to come to them, what do you reckon were the words that he did to them, telling them about the relationship with Paul and the hope that Paul had for them and the gospel teaching of the Lord? Was he going to teach them to be disobedient children and the church there? Was he going to teach them to take advantage of their deceptions in the world? Was he going to tell them to forget about the idolatrous and just bow before them to spare your hearts and your physical life here upon this earth? We understand that Tychicus was a faithful minister in the Lord. That's what he's called. He was a faithful minister in the Lord. And being a faithful minister in the Lord, he found himself beloved of Paul, a beloved brother of the Lord. And what a wonderful thing it is. Whom I sent unto you, he says in verse 22, I sent Tychicus unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. How does he comfort their hearts? By a bunch of deceptions and falsehoods that are told? No. But by telling them the truth, that they may grow in the sure awareness of what Paul's circumstances are, and their love for him as well as their love for the Lord is the right way to think and do. What a blessing it is to have this lesson in front of us, and I trust that we'll come to think about it as we offer this invitation song tonight. Let's stand together as we sing. Verse number 599.
Oh, how sweet 'twill be the Lord when he comes in glory by and by. What a song of praise will be outpoured when he comes in glory by and by. How sweet will be when he comes in the sky. What joy, what joy when he comes in glory by and by. I am longing for that happy day when he comes in glory by and by. For with him I hope to soar away when he comes in glory by and by. How sweet when he comes in the sky. What joy when he comes in glory by and by. Hope you've been blessed by way of the study today. As I mentioned this morning, it was a tough study for me. It was a difficult thing of how to express and what to say about it. But in regard to tonight's lesson, it's a great joy to read this relationship found in the book of Ephesians that Paul says that the Lord wanted to have and would have with them. Any other announcements we need to make tonight? Well, remember, our men's meeting will not be tonight. It'll be next Sunday night after our class, after our service time. Good to be with us. Brother Gene, if you would, lead us in a dismissal prayer.
During this storm that we had coming out, because we pray that you bless our brothers and sisters.